afternoon. This is Carolyn Evers, and as ever, I'm delighted to be with you. It is my joy to share with you the things that I have received from the cherubim, and anytime I can be of service connecting anyone to the spiritual realm, I am just delighted to do so. Our phone call, if you care to call into the show today, it's 877-876-5227. If you're calling from Canada, it's 888-810-8322. And before we get into the information that I have for the show today, I'd like to just mention to you some information that Archangel Michael had given to me that I had discussed on yesterday's show. And he mentions, and by the way, this complete message is in the spiritual notebook if you want to read the full message. The title of it is called New Energies. And Archangel Michael mentions that this whole year that there's going to be new energy coming to the planet, but he points out the months of March, April, and May are going to be 3 months in particular where there are going to be very special energies coming to the planet, that this is our opportunity to connect to our soul in ways that are presently unknown to us. And he mentions how our soul is so vast and parts of it are on so many different dimensions. And before we can really be connected with our soul in the manner in which he is speaking, we must clear out all of the negative debris from our past lifetimes and from this particular lifetime. And he says in particular about this that what some of the clearing has to do with ingredients that we have collected in the body that has to do with impure air, water, the additives that are in food, that this is part of what is being cleared right now. And many people are talking about this, the things that the body's going through, colds that we can't seem to get rid of, intestinal viruses, pains in joints. And so this is part of the clearing. And I mentioned this yesterday, and are mentioning it today because it is so very important, I do believe. So that's what the body aches are. But now these new energies, March, April, and May, is connecting to the soul. And he has, Archangel Michael has told us that what he is willing to do is to come with Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene and her angels, and they are going to be working with clearing out the physical. Anyone who wishes to be, who wishes to participate in this, go to archangelmichaelsconclave.com, sign up for the newsletter, and we will send you a newsletter and tell you when we're going to have a conference call in March. And that conference call is Archangel, we will be channeling Archangel Michael for you. And he says that it's going to take several times for the body to have this clearing done. So along with that, if you have any questions on that, can't find the place to sign up for the newsletter, it is Archangel Michael's Conclave.com. Sign up for the newsletter and we'll tell you when that conference call is coming up. Some of the things that people have seemed to be very interested in is connecting to their angels or to a past life incident that needs, that can give you some information at the moment. Your angels, we're never quite sure what spirit has in our future, so to speak, for this connection. So we trust that whatever is in the soul's best interest, that we are going to try and facilitate that for you, and we're glad to do that. Now, one of the questions that I had asked the cherubim about, I was particularly interested in Mary Magdalene and Yeshua. And for those who perhaps have never listened to this show before, I work with the Akashic Records, the universal Akashic Records that are located in the center of the cosmos. And if you're interested in the different places where records are held, because people read from different locations, if you go to the website at www.akashic-reading.com, there is an article there that describes all the locations where the records are held and how they work their way up to the cherubim in the center of the cosmos. And I believe it is an interesting article. And I work with the cherubim and do personal readings for people. You can order a personal reading there or just go to the site and read some of the articles. And much of what I do for the public in a general nature have been questions that I have been interested in and have gone to the cherubim to ask them to open up the Earth's records and get this information. And because so many people are interested today in Mary Magdalene and Yeshua and some of the questions that I asked, I thought perhaps the audience today might be interested in it. And, of course, one of the questions that I think a lot of people are talking about is the question of whether Mary Magdalene and Yeshua were married. And according to what the cherubim say that is in the earth records, they note that, yes, they were married in the Essene community, and that at that particular time that the two of them belonged to the Essene community, that Yeshua was considered a rabbi at the time. He was certainly a teacher, even among his own spiritual brothers and sisters, because of his great knowledge and, more importantly, his skills at healing put him in ranks that would be considered leadership. And they go on to say that even at an early age, his healing abilities were such that people considered that he had this natural talent for healing, but more importantly, he held a designated lineage that was considered imperative among the group that held records from very ancient times. And so we got a little bit of information here about the lineage of Mary Magdalene and Yeshua. We don't perhaps think of this too frequently, but what they said was that Mary of Magdala was honored in her own right, as she came from a line of royalty herself with connections to the king of Syria. And even in ancient times, now this is not necessarily that Mary Magdala was from Egypt, but her lineage goes back as far as ancient Egypt when they run that line of progression. And so her family had great honor in both ruling classes in Egypt in very ancient times and in the more modern times of that period in Syria, and that she also had great spiritual ability. And mentioning something I think is very interesting, again, perhaps things that we don't necessarily think about, but at a very early age, that Mary of Magdala had raised the Kundalini spirit, or serpent, excuse me, not spirit, the Kundalini serpent at a very early age. So she had a great understanding. She used the third eye. She could see things that the ordinary person couldn't see, and that she had immediately recognized Yeshua at the first moment that she had seen him, that she knew he was the one that she was designed to meet. I like the thought of that, that she knew at the very first moment that she saw him that he was the one, that he was her destiny. And so I became curious. I wanted to know if they had a child between the two of them since they were married. And this was kind of interesting, I think. The cherubim looked into the records and said the couple actually had more than one child, that they had three, that Mary of Magdala had conceived and was pregnant at the time of the crucifixion and had two other children after the crucifixion, that the first child was a daughter, Sarah, and the other two children were male children. Well, I was a little bit surprised at that answer, but perhaps not falling off my seat, because I had read things where Yeshua had survived the crucifixion. There's a lot of channeled information about that. And so the answer was that there are ancient records that tell us that Yeshua did survive the crucifixion and actually journeyed to several different parts of the world, that records of his journeys are in Persia, which are now destroyed, and in Tibet, which are not destroyed but are available in the monasteries, though these are not of general knowledge. And records have also surfaced from what we call the Orient. And I, not too long ago, a friend sent me some pictures of a tapestry that came out of the Orient that shows individuals that we certainly would consider to be Jesus. I mean, it looked like Jesus. And different events in Jesus' life that was woven in this tapestry, which I sort of found that was of interest also. And so my question was, why was all of this hidden from the masses? And the answer was, the story was suppressed as there was some that wished to control the information and in turn the people. That there were Hebrew leaders and teachers, later the Romans, and later still the church. That there are records that contain this information. It's in the Vatican, but they were confiscated by the early Romans and then purchased and sometimes stolen by the church. Each time I receive a piece of information, of course, being a curious individual, a new thought arises, a new question. I was always one for questions, and I guess to a certain point that that is of interest, sometimes not. So my next question was that if there was and they're telling us that there is this royal bloodline carried between Mary Magdalene and Yeshua, I became curious about that particular DNA. And so I got into some questions getting information about Yeshua and Mary Magdalene's DNA. And one of the things was the question of the Priory of Zion, since we've had so much information about that with books and movies and so forth. And the answer was perhaps a little different than I thought it might be. What they told me was that this information was protected by the Knights Templar, that it was an inner group of Knights Templar, but they did not write this down. The knowledge of this inner group was not written. And there was reasons for that, because just from my own memories and other information that I have of the Templars, they were not one to write things down in written words. What they usually did was take emblems and symbols and art and carved it on the columns of the churches that they built. Much of their sacred, what we would consider sacred information, was done that way. And this information about the bloodline, about Yeshua and Mary Magdalene's DNA, they were not going to put it in records where you could read it, because they didn't want other people who they didn't want to be privy to this information to fall upon it and collect it. If you want to call in, our number here is 877-876-5227. The Canadian line is 888-810-8322. You can call in for a request to connect with your own spiritual sources, or if you have information that you want to share with what I'm giving from the reading with Mary Magdalene and Yeshua, do that. We would enjoy hearing from you whether it's in agreement or not in agreement. So I asked this question about Yeshua's and Mary Magdalene's DNA. And I wanted to know if this DNA was contained within a small group of people, or is there a large group of people that carries this DNA? And the answer from the cherubim was that there's a large group of individuals who hold the DNA of Yeshua, though it is diluted presently, as there is much mixing with those who were not of a direct line to the Master, that it was intended that this DNA be spread out among the people, but not publicized. So this is a hidden fact for a long time, but now the people are more spiritually mature to face the fact. So what might be pumping through your veins right now is a diluted form of the DNA from Yeshua himself. Exciting thought, isn't it? It was exciting to me. Of course, this led me to another question. What is the significance of one holding DNA? If we're related to Yeshua in this manner, what's the significance now to our physical body in this time and place? And the answer was, the implications are great, as this time will be upon you soon when this DNA will be activated. I love that thought. So we might be carrying a diluted form of Yeshua's DNA, and now is the time for this DNA to be activated. This is all part of a plan, and the Templars understood this to be true. That was why there was so much secrecy necessary, so to prevent the mass murder of these people. If there was going to be so much power in this DNA being passed to the people on this planet, the Templars were going to make certain that the people were not murdered, and that's why such secrecy. There is a very small group of individuals who are a direct line of Yeshua's bloodline, but they are not aware of this presently, all except one individual. Oh my goodness, the mystery gets deeper, doesn't it? And of course, this would lead me to the next question. What happens when the DNA of these descendants become activated? Maybe that question is in your own mind right now. Yeshua told us that we can duplicate what he did and even more. If you've read the Bible at all, you might be aware of that statement. We can duplicate what he did. So the cherubim are telling us that spirals will appear to spring open at a designated time, and these spirals from the DNA will connect with energy that will come from the cosmos. I know all of you are aware that the energies from the cosmos have been coming to us and coming at a quickened pace. And if you've heard some of the messages that I've brought forth from Archangel Michael, this particular year is going to be a very intense time for energies, and in particular, this March, April, and May. Getting back to what the cherubim are saying, the crown chakra will become extremely developed so that there will be a direct link up to the upper dimensions. However, the physical body must be prepared for this exchange. Yeshua spent many years integrating his spiritual body into his physical body. And if this exchange happened without this preparation, the electrical circuits in the physical would seem as if they would be fried and the individual would perish. These energies of which we speak are very high powered. What is on the horizon is that the physical body is preparing itself gradually, first by converting the carbon-based cells into crystalline. Presently, almost all of the electrical systems in the physical have been rewired. It will then be necessary to raise Kundalini and a closer connection and harmonization between all the chakras is necessary first. My friends, this is very exciting. This is very exciting to think that this DNA that we hold, even diluted, is at the moment of spiraling and attaching itself, raising Kundalini, having a closer connection between all our chakras and moving to a much higher dimension. It's exciting times, isn't it? Understand that there is still much more work to be done in the physical, as all the past lifetime events that hold negative emotions must also be cleared. This is happening for many, but there are too many who hold these past lifetime memories in their energy body. My friends, this is why Archangel Michael is bringing Mother Mary and Mary Magdala with her angels to help clear this from our physical. Do go to the website at www.archangelmichaelsconclave.com. Sign up for the newsletter. We will send you the date in March when we will have a conference call with Archangel Michael to do this part of the work. Now, furthering this represents a time of great stresses on the physical as new energies come into the planet from outer space and from source in the center of the cosmos. There will be much struggle emotionally and physically for most of humankind before the real work can be begun of expanding the DNA of which we speak. There are not the spiritual communities available presently to support this kind of work required to activate advanced DNA, and it must happen very gradually and in its process. What they're referring to here, you know, in Egypt, there were temple societies that could work with people and teach them the methods of energy and clearing the physical. In Yeshua's time, there was the Essene community that worked along with this. And through many periods of time, there were secret societies. Even the Templars worked with these things with the inner circle of Templars. But today, we don't have that. And so this all has to be done on a gradual basis. I wondered about artifacts that were perhaps secreted away that indicated Jesus' family lineage. And the cherubim said, yes, they haven't been destroyed, but rather hidden. I wanted to know who were the caretakers of this information. Originally, the Templars were the caretakers of this information. Later, the Cathars held the records because of the fortifications that they built and because they lived away from civilization in their hidden communities. They also had a group that lived a reclusive life and a group that taught among the people. It was a reclusive group that became the caretakers of this information. I asked about this documentation because I'm aware of the Templars, I'm aware of the Cathars, particularly the event with the Cathars in Montsacre in France. And I was aware of the fact that they were persecuted and hunted down and all of them were murdered. I was aware of the fact that they received documents there at Montsacre and aware of the fact that it was indicated that before they were murdered that they found a way to secret documents out. And I did believe that these were documentations that had to do with Yeshua's family lineage. And so I asked this question. Did this documentation find its way to Montsacre? Yes, it did pass that way before it was secreted to Rennes Le Chateau. Perhaps many of you are aware of the location. These two areas are very close together. Rennes Le Chateau, Montsacre, very close together in southern France. A few of the records were buried there, and they're talking about Rennes Le Chateau. And some of the records were placed in Rosalind Chapel, and some of the documentations have been moved to another dimension, as Rennes Le Chateau is a doorway to other dimensions. I've been there, aware of that, an interesting place. This I find extremely interesting. When the time is right, this will be retrieved by the one who is in the direct lineage of Yeshua. It was he who, in an earlier lifetime, saved this information for this generation. I hope there are friends out there listening to this. I find this extraordinarily beautiful, important to know that we're probably living in the lifetime when these artifacts and information on Yeshua's life are going to surface. All of this is so exciting, my friends. If you care to call and comment, our phone number here is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-810-8322. As I said, each one of these questions, when I get the answer, leads to something else that, to me, I find extraordinary. With regards to the documentation of which you speak, did any of it pertain to the cache of information that was discovered by the Templars in King Solomon's temple? Most certainly. And that is the information that has been secreted into the next dimension, along with some of the documentation about the marriage and lineage of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene. This is the information that they're saying is going to surface when the time is right. Did the Templars find the information buried in Solomon's temple? Yes. Can you give me an idea of what this information consisted of? Some of the information consisted of the science of geometry and the power that could be obtained from the use of geometric forms. I want to pause here and mention that when the Templars built the Gothic cathedrals, the Gothic cathedrals is just filled with all of these geometric forms that the cherubim are talking about. This came from that cache of information that was buried at Solomon's temple. Some more information that the Templars came back to France with was astrology and the timing of some major cycles for this planetary system that will change and allow humanity to regain their abilities, which was lost in Atlantis. I don't know if you've, people who are listening to this show, if you heard the show that I did on Cosmic Connections regarding to the Gothic cathedrals and ley lines. One of the things that I have spoken about in the past was how this information was secreted away by those wise ones who lived in Atlantis, who knew that their island was going to be destroyed and would be in the process of sinking. And they tried to find the most logical place to put this information, and what they did was they put it on the columns of a temple. And that temple originally was on the site where King Solomon built his temple. Ultimately, it was a sacred place even before Solomon's time. And as the flood came and that stone building eventually sunk into a hole and was covered over, when Solomon did his digging, the workers fell down into a shaft, and that is how that information was discovered. But it came from Atlantis. And the cherubim were continuing with this. Some of the records were from Atlantis, and some was transported here from other dimensions. I love it. We have gateways between dimensions that are very close to one another, and information can pass between those gateways. What was transported from other dimensions was a power seat that was used by what you call Hebrews, but in reality was from Egypt, as that part of the race was misnamed, as Moses was Egyptian. Oh, this was an interesting time for me to get this information, because I had read little stories here and there about mistakes that were made in the timing of the centuries. And my next question certainly was, what was the Egyptian's name who was later called Moses? You know him in the history books as Pharaoh Akhenaten. You have some comments, call us at 877-876-5227. And if you're calling from Canada, it is 888-810-8322. Now, I have a lot of information here about Pharaoh Akhenaten and the Hebrews and Moses and so forth, but I'm going to leave that out for the moment and get back to Yeshua's information and Mary Magdalene. I have always felt that Yeshua must have written down some of his teachings. Yeshua was certainly a very knowledgeable individual, educated certainly, vast memory, psychic abilities, healing abilities, and the thought of him never writing anything just didn't seem right to me, that he would have all of this information and rely upon 13 perhaps uneducated individuals that we know of as apostles. I don't believe that there is anything in the records or in the Bible that state that they were highly educated. So the thought of Yeshua writing nothing and leaving all of his information to people who perhaps did not have formal education, I had a hard time with that. And so my question was, naturally, did Yeshua write down any of his teachings? And the cherubim tell us yes. That is part of what has been transmitted to another dimension. And I can certainly understand that, because if individuals who were interested in power and control who came after Yeshua, if they knew about any kind of records that he would have written, they would have confiscated them or destroyed them. And so this information that Yeshua wrote down is waiting for us to be retrieved also. So my next question was, can we discuss what might have been written down and what will be retrieved at some point? And the cherubim indicate, yes. Yeshua came for many reasons. One of them was to help people integrate their physical with the soul so that it would be possible to move the physical body along with the soul to a higher dimension than what one exists presently. Of course, we're calling that ascension. This he wrote about as soon as he realized that the people of his time were not ready for the information. He came, and the people didn't understand, did they? And so when he found out that they didn't understand, he wrote it down. They mention also that Yeshua worked on the inner planes to make this transition possible in his time and in yours. There had to be work done on the inner planes for ascension. And what the cherubim are saying from the records was that Yeshua worked on the inner planes so that those people who might be ready for ascension during his time would be able to ascend. And that work has been done in complete ability so that we, at our time, can ascend. Along with the same topic, I wanted to know about the Gospel of Thomas, because there are groups who talk about the Gospel of Thomas that this had some of Jesus' true teachings in it. And I asked if this Gospel of Thomas that was found in the Nag Hammurabi scrolls, was that genuine? In the sense that they are based upon Jesus' sayings? And the answer to this was, not only are they genuine, but it is the gospel that the Cathars used in their teachings. What makes this gospel difficult to understand is that the interpretation was handed down between teacher and student. Much is hidden, as it would be revealed when the student was ready. It is not exactly written in code, but the explanation is not apparent at first read. This document must be studied with two eyes. It is held sacred by the Cathars and was their main teaching tool. Keep in mind that there were many who could not read in those times, so the statements would be memorized. It was considered the basis of their teaching. I had a great privilege, to go with on a trip with a group of lovely people to the south of France. We traveled to some of the areas where the Cathars taught, where they lived, and I met other people who had memories of their past lifetimes, as I've had memories of some of my past lifetimes. And I was in company of a lovely couple who were Cathars during this particular time, and how they buried records in the stone walls. This was their burial ground also. And they remembered these records. So I'm not going through the whole reading, but what I have shared with you, I think, is so extraordinarily exciting and beautiful to understand that most of us have DNA that came down from Yeshua through his family, though it's diluted because there has been intermarriage, that DNA is coming to a time when it is going to be activated. How incredibly beautiful. Now, we have, during this time, a newspaper article. I went to newspaper articles, knew that there was something behind the articles that had a spiritual logic behind it. One of them was about the weather. Now, I don't know what kind of weather you're experiencing. The date on here when I took this message was on the 13th of February. There was an apparent tornado that ripped through New Orleans. If you read the papers at all or look at the internet, you have to be aware of the winter storms at upstate New York. They have over 140 inches of snow in some places, more on the way. Ice and snow throughout the Plain States, all along the East Coast. I'm here in the East, and I can tell you, even now, there's thousands of homes here in Maryland that still does not have electricity, water, or heat. And there was an article that day about Tokyo. There was no snow in Tokyo, which set a record. They always have snow. I was interested as far as the Earth records was concerned for the cherubim to open up the Earth records and to retrieve the story behind this unusual weather. And they're telling us that it seems that what we're experiencing here in the North American continent might seem to be the results of global warming, and to a certain extent, this is true. What is behind this? There is another thought, another fact that is behind this, that the planet has aligned itself in a slightly different alignment in the interior. And because we have tectonic plates that are aging, there's stress being occurring because this torque is slightly different. We're aware of the fact that the tectonic plates is acting like a conveyor belt. Beneath the ocean floor, there are several vents that periodically open and close, and that's because they're telling us it's because of the stress. As the planet revolves, there is a different, as this axis has been settling more into a different alignment, it's causing stress on the plates. And sometimes there is openings in the ocean waters that open and close. And the temperature that comes into the water from the openings, which is temperature from the interior, heats the water. It hasn't come to the surface yet, but it's affecting the ocean currents. Then there is the fresh water that has slipped into the ocean from the glaciers. And as the glaciers break off and melt in the ocean, there's a change in the ocean salinity, the salt. And this has added to the changing temperatures and the ocean currents. I did some research on this, and it's very fascinating what I found on the internet about this, how the glaciers drop into the oceans, they melt. It doesn't have the salt in the glaciers like the oceans do, and so there is a settling and a rising of water that changes the ocean currents. The other reason is that some of the core in the interior of the mantle has been damaged by HARP. And we've also mentioned this to some individuals in their readings, that during their sleep time, they actually work in helping to repair these this damage by HARP. And when the experiments go on, HARP doesn't seem to be continuous. They seem to have periods where they run the experiments and then periods when they stop for a period of time. And so when they halt programming, the damage can be repaired, but as it is, the experiments are going on, it's very difficult for Spirit and those who are cooperating with Spirit to repair the damage inside of the mantle. Then they go on to another point, that our scientists understand that ocean water temperatures has a bearing on changing weather patterns all over the globe, but they don't quite understand the impact of human consciousness and negativity in particular. So humanity has a bearing on the weather. Cherubim mentioned that we understand that our planet has a consciousness, and she can take much abuse from dumping waste into the ocean and depleting the oil. They compare it to the oil running into her veins. But human thoughts that are negative are the most problems to the consciousness of the planet. That there are beings beneath the surface that control the inner workings of the earth. They are distracted by this negativity and also the lack of human interaction with the entire process. Originally, it was intended that humanity interact with the beings. We're familiar with such things as divas, sprites, and fairies on the surface of the planet, but we're not so familiar with the beings who work on the interior of the planet. And there was a time when humanity respected the goddesses of old, that they actually worked along with the goddess and helped with the monitoring and assisting the consciousness of Mother Earth, both on the surface and in the interior. And so because of this, these are more reasons why the planet is going through some of the weather problems that they're going through. This is a long reading, not going to go through the whole thing, but something that I do want to mention that is discussed at the end, and that is, how can we change this? What can we do? How can we help the planet to become more balanced? And what they're saying is this, that there are many people who are metaphysical healers who are working right now with people on some form. And what they're suggesting is that when you're working with healing with individuals, to also imagine that healing going through the individual that you are working with, also helping to heal the Earth Goddess. So as you work with individuals, as you are helping them, to also imagine and evoke your healing to go to the planet. And I'm sure that there are many there who are doing this, but perhaps there are some who have not considered this, or else the cherubim wouldn't mention this. If you're a healer working with people, also consider healing the consciousness of the planet. And there needs to be a working relationship with balance with all of us and with the planet itself. That if we could just do this, if the healers would expand their healing awareness in this manner, we would see a settling down of some of the destructive weather patterns. So my friends, interesting thought. We probably have about 5 more minutes on the show. Consider calling in 877-876-5227. If you're from Canada, the number is 888-810-8322. You can call in to be connected to your spirit resources, like your angels, past life event, or if you choose to call in with some questions or confirmations of some of the information that we've given, Mary Magdala, Yeshua, we've discussed a lot of topics today. Archangel Michael's message, call in with your thoughts. I'm going to take the last couple minutes, and I was curious about Anna Nicole Smith. Why is it that so many people, maybe no one who is in listening range to me, is interested in Anna Nicole Smith, but certainly there is a big flap about her as far as the news is concerned. So we'll say perhaps, well, other people might be interested in her. And why? Why all of a sudden is there such an interest in her life? There are some interesting things here from the point of view of spirit. This is what they had to say about it. They weren't going to address the issues of greed or avarice because they said that is apparent. But that Anna Nicole Smith represented an archetype for humanity. Not that she's the only one, or not that she necessarily is the one that we're going to emulate. But looking at her life, we could see that her choices were not always wise choices. But she represented the vulnerability of the woman, and that many times the female had been held back as far as opportunities were concerned. That in the past, women did not have the opportunities that they have today. Now, one of the things that they mention is she pursued the advantage of going before the Supreme Court to fight for what she felt that she was due. That there were many who didn't agree with the sentiment, but the Supreme Court does not hear many cases. They turn away a lot of the cases, but they heard hers. Spirit said something interesting about that. And what they said was that this was Spirit's intention that this be heard, so that womanhood would understand that they had the right to be considered equal before the law, that it was a message to womanhood that they might take encouragement from this in their day-to-day struggles, so that before the law, women were equal. Another reason that this has attained worldwide attention is to illustrate the lengths that people will go to put their claim in for money that doesn't belong to them. Yes? Everybody wants to say, well, not everybody, I mean several people are saying they're the father of that child. Imagine if she had no money and they had to support the child. I wonder if they would want to say that they were the parent. But they were talking about greed, that it will only be unhappiness for those who wish to take money from others. There is a little bit more about this. I have taken this message. If you want to read the whole thing, it is on the Spiritual Notebook. My friends, we're up to the end of the hour, and I say to you, blessings, joy, and peace. This is Carolyn Evers. Goodbye for now.